Morning.
Good to see everyone out. Excited to get going on this nice, cool fall day. Hard to believe that Halloween's just right around the current corner, and then we got for Thanksgiving and, What? So it's... Exactly. See, anyway, she overslept, so she's trying to make up for it. But all of our fall festivities just around the corner. We done had our fall festival, and I'd like to say thank you to everyone that come out. We had a great crowd, good participation. Had a lot of people from the community come through. We had some monkeys was there. It was a good time. So really appreciate the work and effort put into it. You never know who it will affect as those that would come through and just see the love of Jesus. Just smiling at them, talking to them, makes a lot of difference. By way of prayer request this morning, we had Stephanie had a pumpkin set out at the car and had people that wanted something to pray for right on the pumpkin. So this morning we're going to pray for that, pray for all the ones who put their signature on it, who had a prayer request. God knows all about them. And also this morning we was in the restaurant Jack's, and it seems since we started our cancer ministry, everywhere we go, we run into people who's affected or just been diagnosed. Was a lady this morning, Stephanie asked her how she was doing, and she said, well, not too good. I was diagnosed with breast cancer last week. Going to have surgery and go through the treatment. So y'all remember her. Her name's Drusilla Grizzard. If you don't, some of you might know her. She was her husband passed away, was Herman Grizzard from Ramburn. So y'all remember her. She'll be going through the treatments and things for cancer. So she was really down this morning, so I ask you to remember her. Do we have any others that I'm forgetting? Lee Barber, remember her. She's not feeling well this morning, so she requested prayer. Actually, can you remember my mother? She is getting better. She had failed last Sunday night. I got home from church and our fall festival and got sat down and phone rang, and she had failed in the nursing home over there, tried to get up by herself, had a big knot on her head and her face looks like she's been in a boxing match with Mike Tyson. And but she's getting better. She's in good spirits is the main thing. She is really upbeat right now, and so I appreciate the prayers. It has one up for her, and continue praying. Any more this morning? No others? If not, if you would this morning, we'd pray. Just pray, ask God to touch every name that signed that little pumpkin that represented a prayer, and ask His will to be done. Father, we come to you this morning thanking you for this day. You've given us another day of life, another blessing to wake up. God, we ask that you touch all these prayer requests, Lord, the names that were signed on the pumpkin. God, you know each situation. You know each desire. And Lord, I pray that you answer according to your perfect will. Lord, we ask you today that you be with Lee and all those that are sick, may not feel well, Lord. Ms. Drusilla has been diagnosed with cancer. We ask that you give her comfort and strength to fight, and God, that you allow us the opportunities to minister to her if the opportunity arises for us. And Lord, we thank you for what you're doing in this ministry that we have felt led to start here. God, we thank you for what you're going to do through it. I believe that there'll be souls come to be saved. If there's only one, it's worth all the efforts and all the time that we put into it, God. And we don't save, you do the saving. But God, I'm so thankful that you desire to use us. Lord, we ask you to go with our singers this morning, touch their voice, or let them sing praises for no other reason. Honor and glorify the name of Jesus, for it's in his name we ask it. Amen.
Good morning. Please stand and join us in our call to worship.
Lord, I come, I confess. Bowing here, I find my rest. Without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you. Every hour I need. unseen. Your grace is more, where grace is found, is where you are, and where you are. Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ. Comes my way. When I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay.
I'm yours, the first time I called you Lord. Thank you.
Singing this morning, like Stephanie said this morning, we was watching a video of a guy playing piano. She said, if that don't get you going, your fire's wet.
I didn't say that.
Or something like that. But She meant to say woods, but she said fire. So I don't get many times I get to, but I'll get in trouble when we leave anyway, so I might as well make good of it. You got your Bibles this morning. Turn to Numbers. Numbers chapter 10 again. I was in chapter 10 last week, and I began reading over from last week where I was, and I never noticed this in chapter 10, but we've got a great example of Moses becoming a witness. Moses showing us how to become a witness for the Lord in this book of Numbers. Numbers chapter number 10, verses 29 through 32. Numbers 10, 29 through 32. So it's a great example of how to become a witness. Now, you begin thinking about, it's one of the hardest things to do in my personal life is to tell someone about the Lord. And I'm not talking about to a big group like this, but a one-on-one occasion. And we're starting our cancer ministry, and there's going to be times that I know that God's going to provide times that we'll be one-on-one with people, just you and them, or just you and somebody with you and them, or something. There's not going to be many around. And that's how Moses was this morning. And Moses was witnesses and the one here that was a real close to him, probably. It wasn't like some stranger out there. He was witnessing to his brother-in-law. Now, some of you may have brother-in-laws you don't want to witness to. I'm just kidding, but we know some of us have in-laws, different things, but that we may not get along with. But there's a great example here of how to become a witness as a Christian. And the Bible is very clear on this, of that we must witness. How the Word of God gets out, how people learns of the Lord is by mouth and by telling them and by the Word of God. And it comes through preachers. It says, how should they hear? Lest it be a preacher. Someone has to tell them, or they have to read it, or they have to hear it saying. They have to be a way they understand this. So it's very important that we understand how to become a witness. I'm going to begin reading in Numbers chapter 10, verse 29 through 32. You don't have to stand this morning. We'll let you sit down. And there's some hard names in here, so I'll go ahead and give Abby the privilege to critique my Greek and Hebrew here. But verse number 29 says, as Moses said unto Hobab, the son of Ragu, and your Bible may say Jethro right there, but that's the same person, the Midianite, Moses' father-in-law, we are journeying to the place of which the Lord said, I will give it to you. Come thou with us, we will do thee good. For the Lord has spoken good concerning Israel. And he said unto him, I will not go, but I will depart to mine own land and to my kindred. And he said, Leave us not, I pray thee, for as much as thou knowest how we are to encamp in the wilderness, and thou mayest be to us instead of eyes. And it shall be that thou go with us, yea, it shall be that goodness the Lord shall do unto us, the same will it do unto thee. Father, we thank you this morning for this word. God, we thank you for the direction of through a man named Moses, and through your word and your spirit, that we too can become a witness such as Moses was. And God, I pray for every soul here this morning, God, as we encounter those who don't know you, Lord, that we may invite them to come along with us. God, that we may want them to be with us, and we know that we can't save, and that your spirit is the one who has to draw them. But God, let us be the mouthpiece and the tool you use to tell that lost soul about you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Right here in verse number 29, we begin seeing who to start with. What does it tell? Have you ever wondered that? Where am I to start of being a witness for God? Where's a good place to start? And listen, I like to get this backwards because the hardest one to witness to is our family. For some reason, the hardest people to tell about the Lord is your immediate family. It's always has been for me, and I'm sure it is for you also. A complete stranger is much easier. But here, Moses gives us a direction, and we see him. He starts with his brother-in-law, and listen, he don't cut any corners. He goes right to it. And I believe that Moses truly knew this man. He was his brother-in-law. Sure, he knew him, but I mean, I believe he knew him as a person. I believe he knew how stubborn he was. I believe he knew his ins and outs, his personalities, all of his bad sides, all of his good sides. And Moses probably thought this thing was near impossible. I bet Moses rent his hands. I bet he was nervous about doing this thing. And you say, well, how do you think that? He was leading a million something or more people of Israel out of the wilderness, through the wilderness. Why do you think this one person bothered him? Because I know how he is, and I know what a man is, and I know how I am. And listen, I can tell a whole group way easier about the Lord than I can one person. I can't explain that to you, but that's the way it is this morning. So listen, Moses come to his brother-in-law and began just telling him just like what he wanted him to know. And many times we try to skip around this thing, but if you want to tell them about the Lord, you just got to tell them. that you just got to go into. And I believe he knew it was going to be hard. He knew that he didn't know what was going to come of it. I believe Moses also knew that he couldn't make him believe. He couldn't make him follow. But one thing Moses knew was he cared enough about his brother-in-law to tell him about the Lord. And today I wonder, do we care even enough about our family to tell them about the Lord? Do you care enough about your family, even through the ridicules, even through the putting downs and all the hard things that come with it? Do you care enough about them? Now listen, I know all about this because in my family I get called the Rev. I get called all this stuff and I get called a bunch of things. And listen, it just comes with the territory. But today, do you care enough about their souls to be willing to take some of that? Do you care enough about them? And do you believe what the Bible teaches, that if they don't come to know Him, that they're going to spend an eternity in hell? We need to get that through our hearts and minds. And listen, if we love like we're supposed to love, we'll want to tell everybody we come in contact with the good news of Jesus Christ. And man, listen, Moses wanted to tell his brother-in-law. And listen, Acts chapter number 1, verse 8 tells us something. I believe it tells us where we're to start witnessing. It says, but you shall receive power. In other words, you can't do any good unless the Holy Ghost shows up. Unless the Holy Ghost is working on the other end and working through you, you better keep your mouth shut because you're not going to do any good. But it says you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be a witness. You shall be witnesses unto me. It says both in Jerusalem. That means that was where they at. That was home. I believe it tells us we're to start witnessing in our homes. We're to start with our family. That means our father, mother, our brother, our brother-in-law, sister-in-law. We are to start at the house and then go to all Judea and all Samaria. That means we are to start at home. We're to go to Heflin. We're to go to Alabama and eventually to the whole world. And I think as Southern Baptists, we do a way better job in Africa than we do in Alabama. I think we do a better job in Africa than we do in Heflin. I think we do a better job in China even than we do right here at home. And why is this? It's because for some reason, as people, it's so hard to tell the ones we love about the Lord. I don't know if it's put there by Satan or what it is, or if it's pride or what. I think this is what it is. This is my opinion. I think it's because those at home know us. They know us. It was the same in Jesus' day. The Bible says that he could do very little good works in his hometown because of their unbelief. Because they knew he was them. They said, who is this man? He's nothing but a carpenter's son. They knew him. But listen, as we go out, you will find that people don't know you will come closer to listening to you than they will anybody else. It's just the way it is. When I went to Lineville, it seems I was more effective down there than I was in Ramburn. Why? Because people knew me. I thought it was going to be a good thing to be back home. But the best thing you can be when you're witnessing for the Lord, probably, or the easiest thing, is people that don't know you. But brother, when it comes to the family members who know you're every in and out, who knows all your failures, all your insecurities, all the sins that you committed that they know about, they know every bad thing about you, then it becomes hard. It becomes hard, but he tells us to start at home and to branch out. Moses knew his brother-in-law wasn't a believer. He knew he wasn't a follower. He knew he was a Midian. A Midianite. He was not of them. And listen, he knew he probably would not follow. He didn't know what was going to come. But listen, the decision that person makes is not your responsibility. Because you have no bearing on that decision anyway. That's God's business. God's the one that saves them. But brother, according to this word of God, me and you don't know who that is. So we must tell every soul about Jesus Christ. We must spread it as far as we can and tell it as loud as we can and everybody that Jesus saves. And listen, it's up to the Spirit's job to draw them, and then ultimately that decision is made and they become following Christ. He's got to make that heart a heart of flesh before they can follow. That's not our responsibility to save. Our responsibility is to tell. And Moses told his brother-in-law. So the who to start with, I hope we got covered pretty good. Now let's go to the hows of witnessing. The hows. We know the who's, but how? How do I go about witnessing? Oh, it's so hard for me. How do I go about it? And I tried to think about, what's the word? Somebody help me out here. You can talk. When you take a word, a letter out of each word, and you make a thing with it. What's it called? Acrostic. We got acrostic and acronym. All in favor? No. I don't know what it is. But anyway, this is what it's going to be. When you take a word, we're going to use the word tire. It's because I'm a car man, I guess. But this is what the Lord laid on my heart. I want you to write down tire. T-I-R-E. That's how you spell tire, ain't it? Tire. Write down the word tire. Tire. Starting with a T in tire. Boy, y'all look at me like I'm crazier than I usually am. We're not going to actually use a tire, y'all. We don't use the word tire. The T is for tell your story. Tell your story. Every single one of you have a story. Every single one of you have a story. If you're saved today, you have a story. You could even put testimony there. You have a testimony about how you come to know the Lord. Moses had a testimony about how great his God was. He was telling his brother-in-law, hey, God has sent us to a place that he's prepared for us, and it's going to be good if you'll go with us. I need you to go with us, brother-in-law. I need you to be right there with us. So when you come to witness to somebody, the only thing you can do, the only bearing you can do, is tell them what you have seen. That's what a witness does. If you put a witness on the court, what do? They tell what they saw, what they heard. They tell what they know about a subject. So today, that's what you are to be. You're to be telling your story. And brother, if you don't have a story, today I invite you down here to an old-fashioned altar where you can have a story. Your story can begin. But listen, tell your testimony. The first thing you should open up with is, I serve a great God. I serve an awesome God. And that's what Moses told him. Right here in verse 29, part B, listen to what he says. He says, we are journeying into the place of which the Lord said, I will give it to you. We're journeying to a place which the Lord said, I will give it to you. We headed to a place. We're pilgrims. We're pilgrims on a journey. And we're going to a place that now we don't hope it's there. We know it's there. Because God and His Word says it's there. And God's promised us it's there. So we're assured that we're going to that place. Now listen, when you're witnessing to somebody, you want them to know that you believe that. That's the first part of any kind of selling. And we're not selling this. God, the Holy Spirit, sells it Himself. The preacher don't have to be a salesman. We don't have to be anything. We just got to be the one that tells it. But any good salesman has got to believe in what he's selling. And I think the problem with a lot of people in witnessing is, bless God, they don't know for sure or not if they're saved. They don't know for sure or not if they know the Lord. So they're scared to tell somebody about something they don't know about. But today you must be assured of that thing. You must be 100% sure that you are saved and on your journey, such as Moses was. And when you are, you should begin to tell people. Begin to tell them. That's the T. The I. Invite. Invite them. He said, come thou with us, or come with us. Hobab, come with us. I want to invite you to come. Listen, it may start of inviting them to come to church. It may start with that way. It may start with inviting them to come to a fall festival. It might start with inviting them to come to a revival. It might start with inviting them to come to, I don't know what, anything, church function where they hear the Word of God preached or taught. But listen, you got to invite them. You start inviting them and tell them to come. And I know the first thing that comes to your mind, well, preacher, I've invited. They just will not come. I've told you this over and over. There's people that spend all their time and efforts on surveys about this stuff. And they say you got to invite 16 times. And the sad thing is that I'll do one time, and then I'll say, well, it wasn't God's will for them to come. It just wasn't God's will. Listen, you got to invite them. You got to make sure they know you care about them, and you invite them to come. Luke chapter 14, verse 23 says, compel them to come. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and to the hedges and compel. And listen, you got to stop right there with the word compel and see what it means. It means whatever is necessary. It means whatever is necessary, you compel them to come into the house. You compel them to come to the Lord. You beg them with all you can to come, and you tell them your story, and you invite them and tell them, say, hey, brother, the good news is you can have exactly what I've got. You compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. Moses invited him to come along. He said, I want you to come on. And his brother-in-law told him something. He said, this is where we get to the next step. So the I is invite and the R is rejection. Almost every time that you witness for the Lord, you're going to encounter rejection. How many of y'all that's men in here, ladies may have done this too, but how many men in here ever ask a girl out the first time and she said no? Be honest. I called Stephanie after I'd met her that first time and I told her the little story about how I met her in a restaurant. She said, I don't know who you are. I have no idea who you are. She gave all these men or all these guys her address or number in a restaurant, I guess, to get tips. She was smart. But listen, how many of y'all ever ask your spouse the first time, or maybe somebody that's not your spouse, don't tell me that. Ask them out on a date the first time. Or you ask them something. I mean, you ever asked maybe for a job the first time and you didn't get it? Or you ask for a position on the football team, or the cheerleading team, or whatever it may be, or the softball, whatever you was involved with, you ask for a position and you just didn't get it. Oh, if you're really compassionate about that thing, you don't give up, do you? You don't give up. Listen, Moses got rejected. Moses got rejected by his brother-in-law. Let me show you this in verse 30. He said unto him, I will not go. And now if it would have been most of us, we'd have said, all right, hard head, you stay back in that wilderness. You just give whatever it is you've got there. I don't care if you go or not. Moses cared about his brother-in-law, and he didn't let that rejection stop him. He didn't let it hinder him. He didn't let it keep going. He says, I will not go, but I will depart to my own land and my own kindred. Boy, have we not heard this. I'll come on my own time. When it's time, I'll come. When I've got a chance, I'll come. I'm happy right here where I'm at. There's no need to leave. This wilderness is fine with me. I'll just stay out here. By the way, if I go anywhere, I'll go back to Midian. I'll go back to my own people because I don't belong with you Jews anyway. So I'll just go back to my people. I don't belong with Israel, so I'll just go on back. Bless God, Moses is trying to get him to understand something, that God loves all people. The Bible teaches, whether Jew or Greek, it don't care. If you're white, black, yellow, whatever color you are, God loves you, and it's His desire and His will. And listen, it tells us that all men be saved. I'll get there in a minute. And we understand that all won't be, but God knows who will. But listen, we've got to tell them. So when rejection comes, don't give up. Don't give up. Moses, of all he was used of God, he was able to touch a rock and water come out. He was able to make the Red Sea part by the power of God through him. He saw amazing things he was to done. And listen, all these things, he saw manna fall from heaven. And he saw great miracles. But here he was, and bless God, his brother-in-law rejected him. One man rejected him. Do you think Moses gave up right here? No. Moses cared about him. So far in our word tire, we've got to tell, invite, and we got rejection. The E on our word is encourage. Encourage. Don't you listen. Now, there's a ton of debate about this right here, what I'm about to say and what I'm about to read. There's debate of where Moses messed up and where Moses made a mistake. Because Moses told his brother-in-law something as he was encouraging his brother-in-law to come along. Listen to what he said. He said, leave us not. This is verse number 31. He said, leave us not, I pray thee, for as much as thou knowest how we are to encamp in the wilderness. You know all about this wilderness, Hobab. You know this area. You know this land. Thou mayest be to us instead of eyes. It shall be, if thou go with us, yet it shall be that what goodness the Lord shall do unto us, the same we do unto thee. He encourages Hobab to come for what he can offer. Now I read about several commentaries, and this is one of them things that where commentaries differ. And where to do that, you got to go what the Lord lays on your heart. I believe I was able to see Moses' heart in the scripture. I believe Moses cared enough about his brother-in-law to encourage him and to realize that his brother-in-law could be a great help to them. And listen, there was one commentary that said Moses made a great mistake when he said that this man was to be a leader of Israel. I don't believe that's what Moses meant. I believe Moses knew that God was the leader of Israel because he saw the cloud that would go over him and the fire that would be with him. And I know that he knew who the leader was. But here he was encouraging his brother-in-law to understand something, that you had a great need in the kingdom of God. My friend, when you go to witness to somebody, the first thing you need to do is let them understand how important they are to God. How important. He said, Hobab, you know all about this wilderness. And we're going to be here for a while. We're going to be going through here, and we're going to be camping here. You know all the good places. You know all the ins and outs of how to survive in this land, and you'll be to us instead of eyes. You'll be to us. You'll be a great helping to us. Now, how many of you think that when Moses got rejected, that Moses should have said, I tell you what, Hobab, you probably wouldn't be no good to God anyway because of this sin you've been involved with, or all these things you've done as a Midian, all these sacrifices you've done that was wrong. I tell you what to do. That's a good thing. I just felt led to that. I needed to tell you because it made me feel better about myself. But I tell you what, you ain't no good for God no way. You just stay right here. I tell you what would have happened. Hobab would have stayed right there. He would never have went. I believe that Moses saw what a help this man could be to Israel. And today, there's no telling what a help you can be or who you witness to can be for the kingdom of God. I've saw people that come into churches, you thought, well, I don't know what they could add to this church. There are certain age, ain't no good for this. Listen, if God's will is to save them, God has them be saved, then they have a desire, they have a need, and they have a job inside that body of Christ that nobody else can do. Nobody else can do Hobab's job. Nobody else can do your job. You've got one that God has called you to do, and that person you are to witness to, they have a place, and you must encourage them if needs to be. Remember, that's what the word compel mean. It was all things necessary. Listen, all people need to know that they're wanted. All people need to know that they're loved. Stephanie encountered these people this week, and she wouldn't mind me telling you this, and a couple wouldn't mind me telling you this. There's a couple been going to a church in Tallapoosa, Georgia. Had been living a homosexual lifestyle. Had been in the church. They come in. Good friend of mine's a pastor. He does not condone this. He preaches the word of God. I know him. And I know what he does. But listen, he done something that no other church had done. He allowed them to attend church. And in attending church, guess what they've come? They've come to a realization their lifestyle is wrong. And guess what they're doing? They're getting themselves out of that lifestyle. And they're getting right with God. Now listen, what good would it have done when they come in if they had told them, they knew how bad they was. They knew what they was doing wrong. They wasn't blind to this as some of them are. They understood all of this. But listen, they encouraged them. And you know what she told him? She said, hey, they showed us love. They showed us love. Not accepting the sin. That's not what I'm saying. I'll never preach that. I never will. I believe that's wrong in the eyes of God. But listen, you are to love them as any other sinner in this world. You are to love them. He encouraged him. I don't know how bad Hobab was. He could have been the worst person ever walked the earth, for all I know. But Moses saw a desire. Moses saw a need for him to be part of them. So we're done with our word tire. I don't have any more fancy words for you. That's the hows of witnessing. Why must we become witnesses? Why must we become witnesses here at New Harmony? Why we must become witnesses here in Heflin? Why we must become witnesses in Alabama? You sitting there saying right now, that person I meet on the road, they ain't nothing to them, no way. They'll probably never become anything for the kingdom of God. Yeah, what if one soul is saved? Listen, it says angels in heaven rejoice over one who comes home, over one who comes to the Lord. There's angels. Rejoice. That's a good reason. Eternity depends on it. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 8 and 9. In a flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. You want to know what hell is, my friend? Right there is a picture of it. I'm not talking about the flaming fire. I'm talking about being punished with an everlasting destruction from the presence of God. You want to know? Wait, nobody knows. I've heard people say, well, I've been living hell on earth. No, you haven't. Because you've not been in that place. But listen, it says, who will be punished from everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. If you don't tell them about Jesus, if you don't tell them about a Savior, then this is their end, my friend. This is it right here. Punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. They'll ever be separated from a holy God if you don't tell them. You say, well, how you know it's me? If God puts you in that position, if God puts you in that place, it's you. Secondly, not only why you must do it, but keep them out of hell, you're commanded of God. Being a Christian, you're commanded of God to preach the gospel. You say, oh, no, no, wait a minute now. I'm not a preacher. I'm not a minister. According to the Bible, you are. You've been saved by the grace of God. You've required, you're responsible, you have a responsibility to tell others your story about Him, what He's done through you. Matthew chapter 28, 18 and 20. Jesus came and spake to them, saying, all power is given me in heaven and earth. Go you therefore and teach all nations, baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teach and observe all things whatsoever commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. Go unto all people. Tell them about Jesus. Tell them about the love that God has for them. Tell them how important they are. Why? Their future depends on it. More so than that, you don't ever know the future of how many people depends on your telling one soul. Listen to this. There's no telling what difference just one can make. Does anybody in here, Terry's going to know the answer to this and maybe a few more. Does anybody in here know Mordecai Ham? Anybody ever heard of Mordecai Ham? You can raise your hand. Nobody's ever heard of him. I'd never heard of him either. I didn't hear of him until I pulled it up because I got to think about this. Mordecai Ham is the man who was preaching when Billy Graham was saved. 99.9% of the people in the world never has heard of Mordecai Ham. And I tried going back. They got a false thing going around. And Mordecai Ham was saved through Billy Sunday's preaching, but that's not true. And Billy Sunday prays through D.L. Moody. That's not true. They got a whole chain going of that. Well, I don't want to tell you nothing that's not true. That's a good story, but it's not true. But Mordecai Ham heard the Word of God preached in a meeting, and Mordecai Ham was saved. The man who preached that heard somebody else preach it, and he was saved. What I'm telling you is that one person, Mordecai Ham, was preaching a revival meeting in North Carolina. And there was a young man by the name of Billy Graham who was about to be 16 years old, who his family was trying to get to go to a tent revival. And he told him, he said, "I don't want to go." He said, "I thought Christianity was a false." He said, "I'm not saying I was an atheist. I've been raised in Sunday school and all, but I didn't just not believe that stuff about God. I didn't believe that stuff about Jesus, so I was not going to go." And he said that preacher stayed there in that pasture for 7 weeks. Towards the end of it, the preacher had been preaching about a group of teenagers were doing some wrong things close to where he was preaching the revival meeting. And so a group of the teenagers decided they was going to get together and might even beat up old Mordecai Ham. And somebody told him, said, "You better watch out. Mordecai Ham is a fighter. Mordecai Ham is a tough man. He's not going to back down from y'all." And Billy Graham said he went there that night to hoping there was going to be a fight. He said, because he loved to fight. So he said he went there and Mordecai Ham began preaching. And he said, that, "Oh my goodness." Something began talking to him. Billy Graham said he went back the next night. And he went back the next night. And finally, to get out in front of Mordecai Ham, he joined the choir. And he said the Spirit of God got on him, so him and his buddies, so strongly that they come up with a pact that when Mordecai starts preaching, we'll put our heads together. I don't know what that did. But said we'll put our heads together, and that way we won't pay attention to him. And so they did this for a few nights. And then finally, the Spirit of God was so strong that Billy Graham and his buddy, who had his heads together, went down and received Christ from old Mordecai Ham that nobody knows nothing about. What if Mordecai Ham would have never gave his call to preach? What if he would have said, "I'm not going to North Carolina to preach to a bunch of hillbillies. I'm going to stay where I'm at." Billy Graham, and I don't know, God would have had him saved, I know that. But let's just say it for this. What if Billy Graham would have never heard that gospel at that time that he was to hear it? All the people, Billy Graham is credited. Now listen, Billy Graham has never saved a soul in his life. He cannot do that. He has told more people the gospel of Jesus Christ than any other man that has ever lived in modern times and probably before. Except the Word of God, of course. But he's told more people out of his mouth the gospel than anybody. That came from Mordecai Ham, which came from another, which came from another, which came from another. And I'm finishing early today, but I want to leave you with this thought. You can count the apples on the tree, but you cannot count the apples in a seed. You think about that, it'll make your head hurt. One apple seed, how many apples ever come from it? You'll never know. You ever give off this seed to plant, a new tree will grow, new apples will come, it'll keep on going. Why is it important to become a witness? You may witness to the next Billy Graham of this world. You may witness to the next Billy Graham of this world. Listen, it might even be your brother-in-law. It might even be your son. Maybe your daughter. Maybe somebody who will give birth to that next great. You don't know what this thing will be. You can count the apples on a tree, but you cannot count the apples in a seed. This is why this morning God is calling us at this church to become witnesses. He's given us the opportunity through not only a cancer ministry, but out in His community to be telling others about Him. And to begin, this is a very short sermon on this. You need to study all you can about how to witness for the Lord. But I promise you to try just this one time. If God puts it on your heart to witness to a person, if you'll just open your mouth, the words will come. The words will fly out, and you won't even know what you said most of the time. You think, well, that person may not need to hear that. If they didn't need to hear it, God wouldn't put it upon your heart. He works on both ends. And I know from experience, and even right now, as being a pastor for 10 years, that's not long. You talk to some pastors, some of them have been doing it 50 years. But I know that it's so much easier to preach to 1,000 people. Never preached to 1,000, but it would be. It's easier to preach to 100. It's easier to preach to 500 than to tell one person one-on-one about the gospel. Something make up in man that was there at the fall, that becomes awkward for us. But we must do it. We must do it. Moses did it. Did Hobab listen? We believe he did. You go on to other scriptures, his descendants was there with Israel further down. So that tells us that he went with them. I don't know how much leading he did. I don't think he probably done any. I know he didn't do any leading because God was leading. The cloud was leading. God led them everywhere they went. But Hobab was encouraged by his brother-in-law Moses, knowing that he was needed. He was needed for the work of God. I'd like to encourage you this morning. Witness to that lost person at work. Witness to that lost person at school. Witness to that lost person, more importantly, in your home. We're about to be upon Thanksgiving. There'll be people probably in your household that don't know the Lord. Tell them about Him. Come up with a reason to start talking and a door will open about Him. There'll be people in your home at Christmas who don't know the Lord. And these are harder to witness to than ever lost soul in Africa or China ever will be. You could tell them about Jesus and everybody and I, but that family's tough. Their future depends on it. If you would, please stand. Miss Pat comes and plays. First, before you can witness, you have to have seen or experienced something. You may be here this morning. The Spirit of God is working on you, and He's let you know that you don't know Jesus. That's what Billy Graham said. He wrote about this experience of his in his book, his autobiography. He said, I've been raised in Sunday school, and I've done good things. He said, I never was a bad kid. He said, but in that revival meeting with Mordecai Ham preaching, I realized that I knew the religion of my mother and my daddy and my grandma and my grandpa, but I did not know Jesus for myself. You must have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You don't have that this morning, don't leave this place. Don't worry about pride. You say, well, these people know me all my life, they know I'm a fake. Who cares? What matters is eternity. Don't leave this place not knowing Him. Secondly, He lays on your heart to tell anybody. I don't care if it's the worst person you think that's ever lived, or you've known their past, or you know their present, or any of these things. God lays on your heart, you tell them that you're on a journey and that you would like for them to come along, and encourage them. Let them know what a need they have and how they are loved and how they matter. You never know what difference it will make.